Now, what if you were told that being more optimistic could make you live longer? New research suggests that those who have a more hopeful and confident disposition stand a better chance of reaching the age of 85. This is the work of academics at Boston University, the School of Medicine. They found that the 71,000 people who participated in their work, those who were more positive about the future, tended to live between 11 and 15% longer. Do you think I'm a positive person?
Yes.
Depends, doesn't it?
It does depend. In some ways you like to feel a wee bit sorry for yourself. In other ways you can be very positive and forward thinking. It just depends on what mood you're in that day.
I think the gym's helped me to be positive.
Well, apparently that does help to get your blood going, your endorphins and all that stuff.
Kathy Lett will get our endorphins going. Good morning, Kathy.
G'day boys, how are you?
Good morning. And the travel writer Tim Headsley. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Kathy, you're an author. Do you buy this? Do you think there's anything in this? The more optimistic you are, the longer you might live.
Yeah, and I'm a total optimist. So you are never, ever getting rid of me. But when I first moved to Britain from Australia, I mean, I was shocked at how pessimistic the British are. I mean, it's almost like they've got an Eeyore gene. I think they think optimism is some kind of eye disease. And they were always say to me, oh, you can't do that, it's not the done thing. And I'd say, but once I do it, it's done. And then it's the done thing. And optimists are the ones who push out the envelope, we try new things, we take risks. If it weren't for us, you pessimists would never have got out of the cave. So we owe a lot to optimists, in my view.
Wonder is it a Northern Ireland thing, Tim, to be not very optimistic?
I think it is. There's such a thing as defensive pessimism. And that's the sort of thing, if you're sitting in a doctor's surgery or your children are playing on the edge of a cliff, say, for example, you were up at the North Coast, the optimist would say, the kids are fine, they won't come to any harm. But the pessimist will say, I need to be careful here. I need to be careful about my children and make sure they don't come to harm. If those kids fall off the cliff, then it's not much good being an optimist. So a bit of defensive pessimism is really good thing to have.
I find, Kathy, as I'm getting older, I was 46 last week. I've got to say, Vinny,
you're still a toy boy to me.
And Vinny bought me nothing. I got nothing from this team. Oh, I've kept this team. I've put shirts in the back of this team for the last 15 years, and they bought me nothing for my 46th birthday.
Well, I think you're allowed to have a little bit of a
but what, smoke. What I was going to say there was, I actually find as I'm getting older, I'm getting more optimistic, and that might go against the grain of people maybe as they get older, get more pessimistic. I'm not. I'm kind of thinking, limited amount of time, let's look at glass half full. Or at least I'm trying to.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think you can train yourself to be more optimistic. We know that optimists who see the glass as being half full and not half empty get pleasure from little things. You know, we don't have to have a super yacht or a designer handbag. And if you think about it, all the best things in life are actually free. You know, walking, talking, laughing, loving, oxygen, orgasms. You know, I just think you need to have a lot more sex. And in fact, psychologists say when they rate what makes people happiest, what gives you the most endorphins, they say that a Scottish ceilidh rates higher on the happy meter than even sex. So what I want to do is have sex at a ceilidh. And then, of course, that would be the happiest and most optimistic I could ever be. Maybe you should join me. We could do that for your birthday.
Are you flirting with me, Kathy Lett?
I certainly am. I think flirting's very good for one's health as well, don't you?
Maybe I should join you.
Well, wordplay is foreplay for females. You know,
this woman's talking about sex and foreplay on Radio Ulster at 10:20.
Did you not say sex and cake? By the way, we've now reached our quota of saying that word for the week.
What?
Sex.
Oh, right. No. It's Northern Ireland, Cathy. Do you know the amount of complaints? And then there's a wee man that sits in the sixth floor of the BBC.
What do you call him?
I call him Penfold. And he's going to have to start writing. What way will the BBC phrase it? I'll write the letter now.
Yes.
Right? I like doing this.
Look on it as a mental macchiato to wake everybody up.
The BBC management team will write the following once there are complaints about us talking about foreplay at 10:29. and they will say, we have passed your concerns on to the presenter and reminded him of his responsibilities.
Yes.
Is that pretty accurate?
That's pretty accurate. I think that's spot on. Can I just say, regarding your birthday, we stopped buying you presents years ago because you would spend money on something nice, put a bit of thought into it. 6 months later, he'd give you a lift somewhere and it would be trampled into the footwell of his car along with a load of McFlurries and KFC. Oh. So no more presents for you.
I was heartbroken when
you
I
were
came
not.
In. I came in last week and there wasn't even a card from the team.
Was I here? I remember being here on your birthday.
I was heartbroken and I thought to myself, well...
You know what? That is true. Not even a card.
If that's what they think of me,
what then did you, stuff them. I'm not putting shirts on their back anymore. You remind yourself every day that the fact you can eat is
you
down to me.
You have never bought me a birthday present or a card.
The fact that you can wash never. Your hair in the mornings is down to me.
No, you are not the boss.
Kathy, thank you. Tim, thank you.